Psalm 21, we'll read here a little bit to get started. It says here in Psalm 21, verse 1, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire. Thou hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved." We're going to stop reading there because we're going to be in verse 6 today. We have went through verses 1 through 5, and we said to start out with, we were going to divide the chapter up into two parts, and 1 through 6, we said, was the delight of the king, and in verses, in these first five verses, we talked about the cause of the delight. There was 8 different things we talked about there, and we're not going over all that stuff. It's been too long. I probably won't remember it unless I look over my notes, so I'm sure you won't, but hopefully we can pick up here in verse 6, and we're going to talk about, that was the cause of delight. Now we're going to talk about the character of the delight as we finish up this first section here in verse number 6, "For thou hast made him most blessed forever, thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." As we talk about the character of the delight today here, we see David's character here is seen in this verse. He rejoices in God's blessings, how long they will last, and God's favor upon him. 3 different things that he looks at as we see through David's character in this verse. David joys in right things, in the right things that's happened in his life. They bring joy to him, and we should too. As I thought about the joy that David speaks of here, he says, "Thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." I thought about, as I always do, try to relay what David's going through to us in modern day we're in here. And I was thinking about this, I think about the New Testament as well, as we try to give you references over there. Let's turn over. We're going to do a little bit of turning this morning. That'll keep us moving. Philippians chapter 4. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. We'll look at a couple things here, and we'll motor our way on through here. In Philippians chapter 4, we'll start here in verse 4, thinking about David glorying in the Lord and how we should glory in the Lord as well. Paul tells the Philippians believers here in chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful in nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you." We live in a a day and an age where people can't find peace. Yes. And you know, that's kind of always been the genre for this world. They can't find peace. They look for peace in many, many different places, and they can't find it. But I think about this here. Paul writing to the Philippian believers. He's writing to believers here. He's writing to the people I'm looking at. He's writing to me. He's writing to you. He's writing to people that know the Lord. And I don't know what all was going on there. At the same time, we only know there's only four chapters here in this book, and we can read through them and kind of get an oversight of what's going on. But as we apply it to our lives today, and we think about David rejoicing back in chapter 21 of Psalms, I thought about how you and I can rejoice, and how that our joy has been robbed many times.
Yes.
We've been through a lot of things. We've been through a lot of things here recently at the church, and it robs our joy. Mm-hmm. But the answer lies right here. To start out with, we're to rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say rejoice when it's good, and when it's bad, don't rejoice. You ain't got nothing to rejoice about, don't rejoice. He said rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Emphasis on it again, capital R in both of those.
Amen.
That your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is his hand. He wants us to, verse 6, be careful for nothing, in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. It's pretty simple there. Straightforward and pretty simple. Whether we're going through something tough, or we're just going, if for some reason every now and then we're just riding along and things are smooth. Because the Christian life is kind of up and down. The Lord wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, but there's hills and there's mountains and valleys, and we're going to go through them. And as we do, we need the peace of God.
Yes.
The peace of God comes right here. Verse 7, and the peace of God, as he's already in verse 6 made his request and thanksgiving unto the Lord, he said, the peace of God which passeth all understanding.
Yes, sir.
Folks, there's a lot of things that I can fix with these hands. I've worked with my hands all my life. There's a lot of things I can fix. There's some things I don't want to touch. But there's things when it comes to people that I can't fix. But I know the one who can.
Yes. Amen.
And I know the one who can give peace. Because he says right here that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall what? It shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Oh, folks, what's on the inside sometimes is so hard to get settled. It's the turmoil sometimes that goes on in our Christian lives, and it'll get the best of us. But the Bible says here that we can have the peace of God.
Yes.
And not only the peace of God, but the peace that passes all understanding. I like it when things are peaceful.
Amen.
I don't do it much, but I like it when I do it. Is just, and I'm not a fisherman, but I take the boys sometimes, and if we can get somewhere where the water's just running a little bit and it's peaceful, I like that. I just sit there. I ain't worried about what's on the end of the line. If you're a fisherman, God bless you. I just do it to be with the boys and do things. But it's peaceful. It's a little more peaceful. And see, and you know this from what I've said before, and my background, I grew up on the farm where we farmed. We didn't hunt. We didn't fish. We didn't do that kind of stuff. So I've kind of learned those things as a father now that I'm not on the farm and I'm not consumed with all that. But I like that fishing because it's peaceful. Now when you get, I like the deer hunting, okay? Don't get me wrong. Ed, don't crucify me on this one. But it's cold out there. And it's hard to be peaceful when you're shivering. But nonetheless, we still do that. But it's peaceful sometimes when you're just sitting by the creek bank or just somewhere where you can hear the water run. Peaceful. I like peace. And we should want peace. We should want the peace of God. Just the peace of God that passes all understanding. And what? It's given to us for a reason. It said it'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what life has thrown your way. I can't fix things, but God can.
Amen.
And he can fix the hearts. He can fix the minds. And he does it through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And how does he do that? It's right there in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
If you have a thinking problem, think on these things.
Yes, sir.
Men, we have a thinking problem.
True.
I'm not sure about the ladies. I'm sure they do too. But again, I'm not a woman and I'll never identify as one.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I don't know, okay? And I've been married now for 30 years. And trust me, you think if 30 years you would know what goes on in a woman's mind. But I don't know what goes on in a woman's mind. And Brother Harvey's shaking his head, and they've been married for years, and shake your head. Yeah, he's been married for years. So you just don't know. That's not a bash on our wives. That's just something you never understand. But it's a fact. But men have a thinking problem, and when we have those thinking problems, what do? We go back to this verse.
That's right.
This verse here will tell us what to do. We do all these things, and it says, think on these things. That's underlined in my Bible. Think on these things. These things, verse 9, which have ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's being an example there, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. He hits them with the peace of God one more time. The peace of God.
Amen.
So, thinking about, that was just a little introduction to the character of David's delight. Thinking about how David's delighting in the Lord, he's doing that because he's thinking on the right things. David is thinking on the right things, and therefore he can rejoice in the Lord. There's three things quickly that I want to look at this morning here in Psalm 21, and you can turn back there now. Back there, I'm going to read you one more verse that I had jotted down here. You go to Psalm 21, and I'm going to look over here in James a minute. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, I've got that reference right there with Philippians 4. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. If you got trouble with your thinking, draw nigh to God.
Yes, sir.
Think on those things back in chapter 4 of Philippians, and he will help you. Trust me, I've been there. I've had thinking problems before. And no matter what the world says, no matter what they've got to offer, it doesn't bring peace. But if you think on what he says here in chapter 4 and verse 8, you will find peace. There's character in the delight here. Three things I want to look at quickly here this morning about Psalm 21 and verse 6. The first one is the source of the delight. Where's the source come from? In verse 6, it says, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him. David is talking here to the Lord, but he's talking of the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, you're the one that has made me blessed forever. David's the king at this time. And he's speaking of how that the Lord has blessed his life and how he's helped him. And he says, thou hast made him blessed forever. God is the source of David's delight here. God's the one that provided the blessings. His presence here was a great blessing. It says here, thou hast made him blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. David knew the countenance of God. We've often heard, and it's been said here, that you can tell, and I can tell this morning, as I look out, the countenance on your faces. And you can tell. I'm not a big judge of everybody, but I can look around, and I'm not one. You'll catch me when I'm up here. I'm looking down a lot because I'm looking at what I've got wrote and thinking about what's next, and I'm not going to be up walking up and down the aisles and giving you the message because everything's right here, and I kind of find my security here. I'm going to wear these things out one day. But nonetheless, your countenance, I'll see as I look up, and you can tell whether a person's heavy, whether something's going on. And David here, the way I can see, because I looked on you, what am I saying? David saw God's countenance. Somehow he saw God's countenance in that he could tell. He was close enough to him that he knew his countenance. Now, I know the Bible says no man has seen God, but it's not a contradiction here.
No.
But he's talking about that he's been so blessed that he's basically seen the face of God. His countenance is a great blessing. The source has much to do with the character of his delight. I asked you the question this morning, what's the source of your delight?
Yes. Amen.
Of my delight. What makes us happy? If we're delighting, what makes us happy? Are we happy doing worldly things? We shouldn't be. Now, not everything we do, we don't live here. We don't live in this building 24/7. But as we live our lives 24/7, 365, what do we delight in? What makes us happy? Now, I've got a lot of things that bring some happiness to my life. My children and my wife have brought happiness to my life over the years, and now I have grandchildren. They bring happiness to my life. They bring a lot of happiness to my life because you sugar them up and you send them home. It's the same thing you used to do, Brother Harvey, with Nathan. Sugar them up, send them home. But they bring delight. Luke and his family were able to come Friday night and brought the kids along and everything. And it was the delight to hold the little one, walk around, talk to people, and to play with the others and do things. It was a delight. That's a delight. That's children are a heritage of the Lord. That's a right delight. Do we delight in God's word? Do we hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against him? There's a lot of delight that can be partaken of in this world. Be reminded that the Bible also said there's pleasure in sin for a season. There's a delight in that pleasure. Pleasure is a delight. But it's only a season. It's only for a season. And then there's time to pay for that. But yet, here, what is our source? I thought about a few passages. Here, you're in Psalms. Turn back to chapter 1. We should, most of us all know this, but just it's just good to look at it. Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
And then it says, goes on and says that his law, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Mm-hmm. Now, we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of it. And there's things. I'm not even going to mention the things because you know the things. The things that we do. The things that we just do in our spare time or whatever time we have. We're captivated today with the little devices. And then don't get all spiritual on me and say, well, I was reading my Bible on my phone. I have the Bible on my phone, but I don't like to read it on my phone. I like to feel the pages. I like to see them. I like to smell them. I like to touch them. I like to turn over pages and see notes that something that happened years and years ago is wrote in here. I was talking to someone Wednesday night. I'm like, my Bible is getting worn. I've had it for years, but I don't want to get rid of it. It reminds me, Steve, you and I got to talk. I think I need you to tighten up some things there for me. I just don't want to let it go. But nonetheless, do we delight in God's word? And I know we can't read it 24/7. But folks, if we think about the time we waste on other things, if we could just spend that time in the word of God.
That's right.
What would our delight be? How would it change our delight? Because God's word will change you.
Yes.
You spend time in it. David said he meditated in it day and night. And we could go on through Psalm chapter 1, but we're going to stop right there. Turn over to Psalm, 112 on the other end. Psalm 112. Get it here sooner or later. Psalm 112 and where's my notes? There they are. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Speaking of our delight, the source of delight. What is our source of delight? Our delight should be God's word and serving him and living for him. It should be our delight. You say that's all Old Testament? Well, let's roll over to the New. Ephesians chapter 1. Time is getting by. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, here it is, blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, a source of delight. What's our source? The source here we see in the New Testament is the fact that we're blessed in verse 3. Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Oh, folks, how we should delight in the Lord. He's done so much for us.
Amen.
He's blessed us here, according to this verse. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us here. But it's in heavenly places too. So what's beyond this, we don't know. We know a little bit about what the Bible tells us, but think about the blessings through eternity as well. We saw the delight, the source of the delight. The second thing is the season of delight. Back in Psalm chapter 21, I told you we're going to move around a lot today. The second thing here is the season of delight. And it says here in verse 6, "For thou hast made him most blessed forever." David is testifying of the blessings of God, and he said they are forever. The season of delight. Forever refers to the blessing here. The blessing inspires the joy. The season of delight will be forever if the blessing is forever. Folks, we'll be blessed forever because of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Psalm 72. Keep your finger there in 21. We'll be back. Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and verse 17. Here at the end of this psalm, David says here, "His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." It says back in 17, "His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him." We are blessed in him, for the season of delight will be blessed forever.
Yes.
Forever. It doesn't wear out. There's no expiration date on the forever that the Lord gives us. It is forever. And lastly, thirdly, we see here this morning in Psalm chapter 21 and verse 6, the size of the delight. "For thou hast made him blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." The size of the delight, exceeding glad. He's gave joy to David here. He gave joy to him that's not a trivial joy. It doesn't come and go. It says he's exceeding glad. It is a great joy that only God can bring. We're going to turn one more place. We'll finish up here in the New Testament, talking about the size of the delight. Let's turn over again to the New Testament, to 1 Peter. First Peter in chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse 3. "Blessed be the God of our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Well, I'm glad he's the one that keeps us.
Yes.
Verse 6, "Wherein we greatly rejoice." You see the size there? "Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving to the end of your faith even the salvation of your souls. The size of delight back in chapter 21 of Psalm and verse 6, the size, he said he was exceeding glad. You and I need to be exceeding glad for what God has done.
Yes.
It says here in Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein we greatly rejoice. If we greatly do something, there's size to it. It didn't say wherein we rejoice. It says wherein we greatly rejoice. We should greatly rejoice for what he's done for us, for the blessings that he sent our way. David was testifying of the blessings of God in chapter 21 of Psalms. And we can testify as well, as we see here in the New Testament, Paul telling these believers here, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, there's that season thing again, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Folks, things have been a little heavy lately. It's been a little heavy for me. It's been a little heavy for my family. It's been a little heavy for everybody here. But we still are to greatly rejoice, and that we have a Savior who cares about us and it wants to continue to bless us. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There'll be a day, folks, when we stand before him.
That's it.
And all the trials and the tests and the things that we go through in life, we keep our focus on him. We do our best to try to keep our chin up, keep going, keep serving him, keep recognizing his blessings. Even though everything around us seems to crumble, keeping our eyes on him, recognizing what he's done, there'll be a day, folks, where it says that at the appearing of Jesus Christ, it's going to be all over one day, folks.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to matter. We're not working our way to heaven, but it's going to matter what you did when you went through those trials, through those tests.
Amen.
And it's going to matter that you stand. I want to admonish the people here for what we've been through, that people have been steadfast. I'm not bringing all that, rehashing all that stuff, but you folks are a blessing. I know you're a blessing to Pastor Cobin's and his wife. You're a blessing to me and my family to see that we're sticking it out. The kind of stuff that's went on tears churches apart. But folks, hang in there. The sun will shine again. Mm-hmm. And we will go on serving the Lord.